Okay, turn in your Bibles, if you will, over the book of Romans, chapter 12. The book of Romans, chapter 12. I'll give you this bit of... I'll save that too. I may save this whole sermon. We may go home early. Are you got there yet? If you've gotten to Romans chapter 12, hold up your Bible, you know, like so, you know, just like that. Okay. All right, good. Most of you are there. If the rest of you are not there, then get your fingers livened up, okay? Therefore, what a word. Someone said when you see that in the Bible, therefore, you start looking to see what it's there for. Most of the time, it relates to something previously said and almost immediately previously said. We have said this, this is said, God has declared, therefore. That means pay attention closely. There's reason to what's about to be said. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual, did you get that? Which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not, I thought my Bible's getting really fuzzy, but I guess there's a reason for that. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. That means get changed, be different, don't be like the world. By the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove, and that's a big word there, it has a message in itself, you may prove, listen, there is a reason for giving evidence of Christ in you, your hope of glory, that you may prove what the will of God is. That, now this is the will of God, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Question, class, when was the last time you heard God say, oops? When was the last time in your life God made a mistake? What that will of God is, a will that is perfect, a will that is good, a will that is acceptable. By the way, I want to tell you that in my conviction, I believe that there are more confusion in the life of believers over this one thing, accepting the will of God. By the way, it is so wonderful. When you're not accepting it, you're fighting it. Who's going to win? When you're fighting God's will in your life, what God's wanting to do in your life, what God's headed and designed for you, who's going to win? Listen, you may not understand it, but God, you're right, and God's going to win. Always he's going to win. And by the way, it's amazing. We'll see it in a minute. He's so gracious that when he wins, he don't rub your nose in it. I love God for that, because most of the time I'm in battle with him. Now then, verse 3, for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think such as to have a sound judgment as God has allotted to each measure of faith. For just as we have many members, he's allotted to each. By the way, you're an each. In case you hadn't figured out, you're an each. Each a measure of faith. For we are many members and one body, in one body. And all members do not have the same function. This is such a simple, such a common illustration that Paul is using here and that God is using through Paul. Listen, this is my hand, right? There are members to my hand. See this pinky? That little sucker got broke one day. And I thought, oh, well, it's just my pinky. You know, and all they're going to do if you go to the doctor with it, they're going to tape it to this one, but it'll keep it straight. It may be a bit stiffer than it ought to be, but it'll keep it straight. Well, I didn't. Well, I ain't got time to fool around with that, so I left it on there. By the way, it's still my hand, and this is my thumb. Now, each member, this one's my ring finger. This one, Peggy Loreen owns. Each finger has a purpose, has a job to do. So we're many members, but just one body. All members do not have the same function. So we who are many, he moved from my hand to the church. And I stand here this morning. I'd like to sit here, but, you know, Charles Stanley keeps sitting on his platform preaching. I may start doing it. As I stand here, looking. You know, some of you have distinct functions. Now, not that the function is so distinct, but how you have fulfilled that function that God has allotted you and given you in the church. Some of you have management skills. Some of you have serving skills. Brother Austin has a gift of service and serving, and he does it so well. You have a particular, I don't know what it is. Some of you teach, and you teach well. Some of you do other functions, and you do them well. And those are easily distinguished. But some are not so easily distinguished. And, you know, anybody that was of that nature could say, well, I wonder what in the world you do. Keep that in mind, by the way. That's not a slander. That's not a criticism. We're going to get to that in a little bit. Okay. Now, remember, he said, therefore, back up with me for a minute. Go to chapter 11, and I want you to see this last section here in chapter 11. Verse 33 through 36. And that has that, it's not, oh, I'm hurting. It's not that. It has, the other day we were driving, I don't know where Peggy and I were driving, but there were about 5 or 6 sugar maple trees. Oh, just looked like, what is 6? Not triplets, double triplets. Beautiful, so beautiful. Peggy said, oh, look. And when I looked, I said, oh my, watch. Oh, geez. Oh, my goodness. The depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable, that's knowing them, his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who, because of his counsel, or who has first given to him that it might be paid back to him again. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory. By the way, that's a capital H. You notice that? Most pronouns do not have capitals, but this is him. It's him. You know him, don't you? Jesus Christ, the Holy One, to him be glory forever. And by the way, let me footnote that for you. It will be. It will be. Glory is his forever. when I get to heaven, I want to join that great, great crowd that stands down on the corner of Hallelujah and Divine Intersection, right in front of the throne. Give it Him glory and dominion forever and forever. Now, I want to read you verse 1 and 2 from J.B. Phillips' translation of this text. Listen carefully. He says, I ask you, brothers and sisters, as an act, listen now, as an act of intelligent worship, that you present yourself, you give yourself to God every day. Watch now. That which will honor Jesus and that which will be accepted by God. We came to the house today, the meeting house, to worship God. And our worship needs, must honor and be accepted. By the way, it isn't the quality, nor is it the tone, nor is it the rhythm, nor is it the lyrics of our worship in song and in praise that honors Him. So, preacher, what's it there for? Oh, it's the heart. It's the heart that expresses grace and mercy to Him. So I ask you, he says, as an act of intelligent worship, to present yourself every day, not just Sunday. You know, every day, that's one thing that Jesus changed. Every day is the Lord's day. You know that, don't you? You serve the Lord, whatever you do, that gift he's given you that is to be used with the body, the church, is an everyday deal, which will be accepted by him. Now, I love verse 2, as J.B. Phillips uses it. And don't let, watch this, do not let this world around you squeeze you into its mold. But you be different than the world is, and you do that. He says, by reading your Bible and by praying every day, that you may show this world, stay with me now, stay with me, that you may show this world that the plan God has for your life is good. King James says, what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God? Because, dear ones, God has a plan for your life. Got it? Now, I challenge you, but I don't think it'll do you any good try. But I challenge you, you think you could improve on it? Think you can improve on God's plan for your life? You remember Jesus saying in the Gospel of John, I have come that you might have life, and that you might have it. Somebody finish the quote. More abundantly. That's right. So, his plan is that you have a great life. Full, meaningful, exciting, challenging. Now, if you're walking down a dull road full of ruts, that wasn't what he planned. Somebody said a rut was a grave with the ends knocked out. Might be. We're here today, not as a body, an individual body, of course, but also better to illustrate, we are here today as a body of Christ. Someone once said, that's my church. Did you ever say that? That's my church. Well, figuratively speaking, you might be a part of the church. So, as that's my body, then that's your church. As that's my body, that's your church. As that's my body, that's your church. You're part of it. An intricate part of it. And what is that? I hope we can resolve today that you, as part of this church, a part of this body, have a function, and what that function is. So many times that I introduced Brother Austin because, you know, he has found one of his giftednesses. Whether that's a good word or not, I'm going to use it. And he's exercising that. And he'll tell you, if you should ask, there's a great deal of life's fulfillment in exercising that giftedness. As he talked about here a little later on, those who give, they don't give to get. They give so he has. By the way, he don't need it. Got it? He doesn't need it. So here we are, giving to God something he doesn't need. Why? The same reason, listen, the very same reason, only this is just the, you know, this is so easy to illustrate, all of them. The very same reason you witness. The very same reason you read your Bible, by reading your Bible and praying every day, J.B. Phillips says. The very same reason you sit on that pew. The very same reason when Ashley leads, we sing. Now, God doesn't need your praise except he needs your praise. No, I won't tell that story. Okay. There are better choirs than this whole church makes up. We could say there are better praise teams than what we have here. If we go by quality and quantity. I'll share this, trying to illustrate what I'm talking about. Out in Pennsylvania, in the Appalachian Mountains, they were very, very, very few full-time, that is, paid full-time pastors, even the bigger churches, because of the mentality and the economy, had paid full-time pastors. And Peggy and I were missionaries of the Home Mission Board, and so they, through your generosity with the Eddie Armstrong Easter offering, paid our salaries and provided our needs. So it kind of got worded about that. Now, I remember, Peggy's always warning me, your stories are too long, okay? I became the guy in the mountains that preached revivals. And in one revival at Hotsdale, Pennsylvania, I ran into, that was at a Christian Missionary Alliance church, I ran into, I guess, kind of a family group, sisters and brothers married. And they sang. And I told them after they sang, I've heard so much better singers than that. Now, that didn't really set their light on fire. That didn't really excite them in the right way. But I went on to say, I have not met a singing group that sing with the heart and the spirit with which they sing. And wherever I went across the Appalachian Mountains in Pennsylvania, I invited them to come and sing. Now, I'll give an illustration to compare. I was chaplain at the Loretta Federal Minimum Security Prison. That's where Chuck Colson was in prison. That's where the mayor of Washington, D.C. He was in prison there. And there was a black quartet of men there that sang a cappella. But I'm telling you, they could light up any place. I got acquainted with those men. Their drinking habits, their drug habits, their language habits. I would much rather, I took these men until I learned all about them. I took these men to conventions, and my, they could light it up. But I'd much rather have that foursome, that little quartet, sang with all the spirit of their heart. You remember for our celebration, 15th anniversary, that family that was here? Now, they were good. I'm not denying that. They were good. But let me tell you something. The best thing about them was the spirit with which they sang. Okay. So, we have a responsibility. I'm coming down quick now. We have a responsibility to show Huntington, to show, if the opportunity arises, Indiana, God's will, which is perfect, which is good, which is right in our lives. Now, as a church, I'm struggling all around here. Maybe it was that story Peggy was trying to tell me to quit talking about. But struggle all around here, bringing us to that as a church is our responsibility. Therefore, because God's grace and God's mercy and God's giftedness and God's wanting, listen, He desires to work through the gifts He has given us and placed in us, not for our benefit, but for His, for the glory of Christ, for the building of His church. So, we have a responsibility to do that. Now, I want to just, from here on, I'm just going to share my heart with you, okay? Folks, we've been here about 6 months, and I've come out of a background of experience. I guess you can say that, Dad. If you said, I guess I come out of a background of experience. I have been in the ministry, active, about 60 years. And in that 60 years, I've experienced most things that churches experience. And I pride myself in saying that I have the ability to read people. Peggy Loreen has the ability to discern things that I skip totally, I miss, I don't get it. But she gets it, and she shares with me, and together, we kind of can come to conclusions. I was not here long. Now listen to me, and don't throw anything. It'll hurt your arm. I was not here long before realizing that there are shortcomings, shortfalls, places of great need, and then beginning to assess those. I came to this, I should say we. I have run with Brother Randy by this. I have run with Brother Dan by this. We've talked about what are the answers to these things. Number one, perhaps, is dedication. What B would be dedication to what? Because there is much dedication here. But we need to see more dedication than what we're seeing. And I have been praying and whatever you do, going over it, going through it, going by it, coming back to it. And I've come up. This is the presentation, one of the presentations that I will make this Tuesday. This is an announcement, by the way, at the church council meeting. It will be up to them to approve it. I'm not going to try to boss the church. That's not my role here. I never sensed being that being my role. But in the days of the Great Depression in the late 1920s, early 30s, and what was known as the Great Depression, on that Wednesday when Wall Street crashed. Now, they didn't have a Black Monday like we had, or a Black Wednesday like we've had. It crashed. It just collapsed. It was no more. Banks went bankrupt because there was no more. Businesses went bankrupt. J.C. Penney's went bankrupt. Now, you know, just a side thought right quickly. Here was a man who gave 90%, got it? 90% of his profit from the J.C. Penney catalog business, mail order business, and he kept 10% of that profit to live on. Oh my golly. He gave to him. He went bankrupt. Men, investors, and so great business owners, they thought, jumped out of the high-rise buildings in New York City and in Chicago and Philadelphia and committed suicide because their life was ruined. And that cast this nation into a great, it looked like, unrecoverable depression. We had a president named Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a man who just didn't believe in giving. I don't know what he was, but he did this. He established several, you know, the WPA. Not many of you guys old enough know what WPA. That meant we piddle around, but anyway, it gave a guy a job and he could earn bread for his family. No, it didn't mean it's work publicly. Anyway, assistance, but anyway. CCC camp. Great state parks. Great national parks. Roads. All kinds of things were built by the CCC camp. I want to present to you a proposal that will be discussed in its completion Tuesday. You might want to be here Tuesday night for that meeting. Right, I'm right. That is Tuesday night. Okay. Our CCC, Christian Care Corps. We need that. We have introduced that in our mentoring that Brother Dan is teaching. We've introduced that in our new member orientation that Brother Phil is teaching. This is what that's going to look like. And Scott, I apologize. I really do. I looked for that opportunity to get. But don't tell these people. But deer hunting got in my way. I wanted to get with you and discuss this because Scott is our one deacon here at New Life. And he will oversee Yoke Fellows if this is approved. And this is just the skeleton. It's not fleshed out. If it's approved, he will oversee the Yoke Fellows and two other people. One, two, or three of church leaders, those who stand out as church leaders here at New Life, will also be brought into service to oversee Yoke Fellows plus two. Now, we'll get the Yoke Fellow, don't worry. We'll get to that. These men will do for those yoke fellows exactly what the yoke fellows are going to do for each other member of our church. Pastor will be a part of this. He will oversee, be the overseer of visitors and prospects, plus key leaders. Now, we've talked about those key leaders. Scott, I've always wanted to be his boss. And the others that are set aside. And then six or more, depending on the need, six or more yoke fellows who will have assigned to them five church family members. There will be a rare occasions, perhaps, where one family will have two yoke fellows watching for them. Now, there are yoke fellows to the deacon group or to the Christian care corps. At least two leading women to give care for single women church members. I would not feel comfortable being an overseer of, and all of this is just rhetoric until we get to where, and this will be refined and defined. By the way, one last word, the organization will be expanded to cover the entirety of our fellowship, active, inactive. If there are members of this church or participants in our services, we want every last one covered. So if there's need for more yoke fellows, and if there's need for more key leaders, we will bring those into play. To set this in motion, if it is passed, and after, if it's passed, it is refined by the church council, we'll have a banquet-type meeting with men and selected women, with all men who want to come. Expected leader qualities, lifestyles, and service will be defined at this banquet for anyone who serves in these capacities to show what is that good and accepted and perfect will of God. I got something in here. I got to figure out why it's in here, okay? Just a second. Okay. These qualities and lifestyles expected from servants assigned, made by Pastor Brother Scott and Brother Randy. Program fully revealed to church at annual church meeting as yoke fellows are introduced. Ministry is fully refined and defined. Listen, we need to care for each other. If you're laying flat on your back, dying with pneumonia, somebody needs to know that. If you hit an oil well, made it rich, somebody needs to know that. I'm serious. We rejoice with those who rejoice. Amen? And we weep with those who are weeping. Amen. We need to begin to develop a care or expand the care program we now have, to make sure that no one is ignored or overlooked. I can tell you, and I'm not talking about this church, but the majority of the churches, when you talk to an absentee person, member of that church, they will tell you, I was a nobody. I was sick. I was dying. My grandpa died. And nobody. We do not want that to happen at New Life. Amen? Amen. I thought you just didn't hear me. I was getting ready to tell you again. We do not want that to happen at New Life. We want to be a church recognized by our care, our love, and our service. You noticed as we read the scriptures that Paul gives an itinerary of the gifts. That's why I did this. Listen, I close with this thought. I want you to think with me now. Listen, you have a gift that came from God's Holy Spirit, i.e., it came from God. You serve Jesus and His church with that gift. Now, that may mean, if you're doing that, that you have two gifts or three gifts or four gifts. Because I believe this, once you are exercising the gift that God placed in you for the service of the church and for the honor and the glory of Jesus Christ, you start exercising that and you'll get another gift. You say, well, preacher, I may not want another one. You may not. It's not your option. You do what God wants. I challenge you. Make it easy. Start being totally dedicated and committed to the plan and the purpose that is perfect and good and acceptable that God has for your life. And then a yoke fellow will have the joy of serving with you in the fullness of what you're about. Would you stand, please?